got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated, 'cause we've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Good morning. It's time for today's message from the Flora Assembly of God at 730 Seminary Street in Flora. The Flora Assembly of God has Sunday school this morning at 9:30. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30, including a children's service. And join them for Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, here is today's message from God's Word.
Good morning. It's a nice chilly morning out there today. It'll wake you up and get you moving really quick. Today, I'm going to talk on God reveals himself to man. And, you know, we all know who Jesus is and who God is. But the thing is, it says in Colossians, the first chapter, the 15th verse, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" You know, who is the invisible God? And in these notes, it talks about there was four blind men and how each one had a different outlook of what an elephant felt like. The thing is, they couldn't see the image, but the thing was, it was something to where they could feel and touch it. Now, I know we can't touch God, but he touches us in our hearts. And the thing is, you know, it's something to where God has laid out who he is. And it's something to where we as Christians can know who he is when we seek him. But God has sought to reveal himself to man, and for all creation cries out there in a supreme being, a creator. The thing is, it's something to where we have a creator. We have the one that has created the earth and created everything in it. And in Psalms, the 19th chapter, the first and second verse, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard." You know, I know that's maybe sounds, you know, well, what's that mean? Well, you know, the heavens, and they declare, you know, God's glory. They know exactly who he is. And the thing is, it's something to where every culture of mankind throughout the history of the world has marveled at the canopy of the stars, of the dark stars, you know, that are on the canvas of the dark and the clear nights when you can see all of the beautiful things that God has created. The moon is like a candle setting on a table, lighting up a dark room. You know, do we ever think about that? It's something to where God is in everything that we see if we really notice it. The beautiful flowers that are out growing, getting ready to bloom, the buds that come out on the trees, those are all showing that God's creation and that God is in it. It says, you know, we have any of them come to the knowledge of God through such observations. It's great. It testifies of an intelligent being, but all of God's glorious handiwork did not reveal his nature and his character to man. God's handiwork could have revealed God, but man was satisfied with the creation and forgot that there was a creator, that there was a God. You know, many times if you have an atheist, they don't believe that there's a God. Well, if he looked all around and saw all the things that God has created, you know, there could not be anything that denied that there is a God. it says, you know, about 6,000 years ago, God chose to recreate himself. And if you think about it, he wanted to recreate something that was had a free will to serve him and to look unto him. And so if you go to Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know, God created us to be where we would worship him and that we would serve him with our whole heart and that we would do what he'd have us to do. And, you know, so many times we let God down in that. We don't worship him and give him glory like we need to. But he created man in his own image. God created a man comprised of a spirit, soul, and a body. You know, we're made up of that. That enabled him to have a communication with God, that it made him to have a conscience, a God conscience, a self-conscious, and a world conscious. You know, I don't know about that, people might say, but it says, "This child possessed the likeness of God and was formed in the very image of the Most High God." We were created in the image of the Most High God. No, it doesn't make us gods. No, we'll never be even equal to anything like that. But God created us to be like him. It was expected that as he discovered himself, he would also discover God. That's us. If we, you know, as we discovered the things about us, he was a scale model of God. Adam walked and talked with God in the beautiful Garden of Eden. The wisdom of God so abounded in Adam that he named all the kinds of all the birds of the air, all the beasts of the field, and the fish. You know, you think about that. He named all of them. God entrusted him with the authority over all the creation. Adam was so like God that he fellowshipped with him with no sense of distance. They were unlike in nature. I mean, they were, you know, God had created him to be like him and to commune with him, but different in qualities. It was a father-son enjoying one another. They were akin. You ever thought about that? I'm not saying that God was, God was always greater than man, but we were just created in to be like God. God was wanting to reveal himself through man. Set before Adam was the tree of life. If he had eaten, which was not forbidden, he would have lived forever, and God would have revealed himself to the world through man. But Adam already had the nature. It only needed to be mature. But when Adam failed through disobedience, you know, when Eve went and gave him that forbidden fruit, that messed everything up for him to be in the garden. This small image of God became deformed, defiled, and degenerated. Unfortunately, sin has not finished its work in the human race. Sin has blinded men's eyes to God and separated man from God. We get our eyes on the wrong thing, and then it's like we can't be close to God because we know that we're not doing, we know we're not doing something right. Man began to have a deformed image of God. Man's picture God like themselves. They saw him in a proud, cruel, unjust way. He was to be feared. God tried to reveal himself to man. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that God speaking vocally to men. We see him in the cloud, you know, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. We see him on the Ark of the Covenant. He protected, he provided, and he led. He said, you know, he's all night present. And I'm sorry, I can't say that very well, but he's always with you. He's always there. All we have to do is just reach out and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. He demonstrated his love time and time again, yet he remained as invisible God. You know, when we do something, we look around sometimes when we know we're doing something wrong, and I hope to pray that we don't, but, you know, it's like a little kid. He'll look to the left and right to see if anybody's watching him before he takes the cookie, you know, or even the adult. The thing is, sometimes we forget that God is watching us at all times. He knows exactly what we're doing. He knows when we lose a hair on our head. You know, it says, why? Satan had blinded the eyes of man. It talks about in John, the 12th chapter and the 40th verse, he that blindeth their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be convicted, and I should heal them. But God didn't stop his love. God keeps loving us even when we fail him. God loves us so much that he wants to reach out to us. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to grow and to grow in him. As you grow in him, then you even know God even more so. But if you don't grow, you know, then it's where we lose out. It talks about Galatians 4. We're going to go to Galatians, the 4th chapter, and the 4th verse. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent Jesus. God lowered himself to more of a level in order to reveal himself. He descended from heaven to earth to be born of Mary, a virgin. And he came as a savior to save us. In Matthew, the 1st chapter, the 21st verse, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, what love that God was showing when he sent his son. All creation would send, you know, his son, that he would reveal himself unto us, that we would be like him. You know, the thing is, it's something to where God did everything that we might have eternal life with him. He's given us that gift. He's given us everything that we have right at the reach of our hands. All we have to do is say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please help me, Lord, to do what you'd have me to do. Help me to live the life that you'd have me to live. You know, it's something to where we sometimes, it's hard for our finite mind to comprehend this, because it's like we serve a God that we have never seen. And the thing is, we talk about a rapture that has never happened. And then the thing is, if you think about it, it's where we're going to a place we've never seen before. If it's heaven or if it's hell, those things exist. And the thing is, if we really would let our mind, our fleshly mind, get in tune with God and to let him show himself to us, it's like we would want to serve him with our whole heart. Not because we have to, because we want to. That we would want to serve him with every being in us to be able to be with him in heaven one day, to walk on those streets of gold and to see the pearly gates, to see the loved ones that have went on before us. And it's something to where it's our choice. It's our choice to do that. We have a choice either to serve God Or if we don't choose to serve God, then we're choosing to serve the enemy. It's something to where, you know, well, I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do any of those things. Well, that's the material things. But the thing is, if you haven't made a choice to serve God, you've made a choice. If you don't choose to serve God with your whole heart and to serve Him and do what He'd have us to do, then you're choosing to serve Satan. There's only two choices in the world. It's your choice. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you today, Lord, to help us to be with you, to know you. Lord, you've revealed yourself to us in so many ways. Your word shows us, the beauty around us shows us how much you loved us, and the beauty that you have made in the flowers, or even in the little frogs that you see sometimes. Lord, we know that you're there. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that if anybody's listening and they haven't accepted you, Lord, that they'll just reach out and say, Lord, I need you as my personal Savior. Please forgive me. Please take my life and change it and help me to change. Lord, I just love you and I praise you. I ask you to bless the people listening today, that they may have a special blessing on their life, that, Lord, that you'll just reach down and touch them in a special way, in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to today's message from the Flora Assembly of God at 730 Seminary Street in Flora. Sunday school is at 9:30 this morning, and Sunday morning worship service, including a children's sermon, begins at 10:30. Join them for Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Have a blessed day.
We've got the power
in the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Yes, we've